welcome to The Ordinary Knitter, the knitting podcast that's mostly about the projects. Find it on iTunes through your podcast app or subscribe via the feed link on the website. This week, knitted face cloths, looking for needle recommendations, and a couple of interesting knitting books. Hello and welcome to episode 55. My name is Heather. You can find me on Instagram at The Ordinary Knitter, on Twitter as at The Ord Knitter, and on Ravelry at Ordinary Knitting. Knitted face cloths. I started shortly after I recorded the last podcast on Honeycomb by Faith Schmidt, who designs under the name Distracted Knits, which I think we can all relate to. I chose this one as the first, as I wanted a pattern written for an Aran weight yarn so that I could use up the King Cole Big Value recycled cotton Aran in cornflour that I had mentally earmarked for face cloths. I bought this in several colours, not this summer, just gone, the one before, when there was a sudden raft of babies appearing, and they were all appearing, as I say, sort of spring, summer, and I had found some patterns that I really liked, but they were designed for Aran yarns, and I didn't want to be giving people heavy woolen Aran knits in June. So the cotton Aran seemed ideal, and it has the advantage that it's easy to wash and tumble, and I think when you have a small baby, the last thing you want is clothing or things to use for the baby that are fussy to wash and dry, and it won't be long before something goes in the washing machine or the tumble dryer when it shouldn't, and then that's all over and done with. It's history. So I bought this recycled cotton Aran, and it's because you want cotton for face cloths, it struck me as really serendipitous. Not only was it the ideal yarn to use, but it's designed to wash and dry easily. So what's going to happen to a face cloth? It's going to be used for washing, and it's going to be put on the edge of the sink, or it's going to go through the wash or whatever, and it will dry out. So it just seemed the perfect opportunity to use up some of this yarn. Honeycomb is written for Aran, so I thought, great, I will start with that. But it didn't turn out to be quite the simple knit I'd had in mind. I was hoping for something pretty straightforward because I'd had a couple of failures, to be frank, and I was just looking for something that I could just sit down and knit and build up my confidence again, I suppose. But something I'd forgotten about with this yarn, which could be a little bit of an issue when I was using it the first time round, it all came flooding back, it splits quite easily. The pattern calls for a 3.75mm needle, which I think is quite small for an Aran yarn, but it's what the pattern stipulated, so I wanted to stick to it. And I rapidly came to the conclusion that sharps would have made a big difference. Specifically on the one row of the pattern, which includes a repeating double yarn over, which, well, I say on that row, it's really on the next row when you knit back across that on the wrong side. You knit into the first yarn over and then you purl the second. And knitting the first was quite a battle between strength yarn and fingernails, and I think sharps would have made quite a difference. I was using a metal interchangeable, it'll be a Knitpro Nova, not a cubic, and I was really, every single time I had to knit into that first yarn over, it was just quite simply a battle. So on my first attempt, I had quite a lot of problems with stitches sliding off the right hand needle while I struggled with the yarn overs. I was sort of putting so much effort into trying to get the needle into the stitch that sometimes I was just managing to fumble stitches simply off the needle with my right hand. I thought I'd scooped them up successfully each time, but then I realised after 7 rows that I had actually just dropped 2 stitches very early on. So I ripped the whole thing out because I was only 7 rows in and started again, and this time after 3 or 4 rows I discovered I had 2 stitches too many. My third attempt started well. I knitted the yarn over row more loosely than I would usually, and that was the key to that. It made it much easier to knit into that first yarn over on the second row. But then I discovered after a while that I had two stitches too few, again, after about seven or eight rows. And by that stage, I just had enough. The failures were stacking up, so I just thought, no, sod it. There's obviously something about this one, for some reason, I'm not getting my head around it, so I just decided to stop, move on to something else. But unfortunately, because on my first two attempts, I'd battled so hard with the needles, trying to get them into places where really needles didn't ought to go, that I'd really aggravated my hand. So I was reduced again for a day or two for just doing a couple of rows and then going off and doing some really thrilling domestic task for, 15 or 20 minutes. Honeycomb stipulates a long tail cast on. I hadn't done one for a while, and although I could remember how to do it, I just wanted a clear guide to estimating how much yarn I would need. Really, because I didn't know if I had much yarn to play with, because I was using a part skein, and I really didn't want to find I had a foot of yarn taken up in the leftover from the long tail cast on, which I really could have used when it came to the other end of the pattern. When I had to cast this on two or three times, the first time, by complete fluke, I judged it pretty well. So the next time, because I had no idea what I had done the first time when it had worked out, the second time I wanted to sort of pretty much replicate that success. And I found guides saying pretty much wrap the yarn round your needle as many times as you have stitches to cast on, then add a couple of inches for luck. So I did this and I had enough yarn left to go around the equator. I think the problem was that partly I overdid the extra couple of inches, but I realised later on that also I had been putting the yarn around the needle in a similar way to putting a hose back onto a wind reel, which is that I was doing it in the same place. So the stitches were getting bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger as the amount of yarn on the needle built up. Of course, I should have been doing it linear fashion. So that was just a rookie mistake. I had to do something similar last night when I was really worried that I didn't have enough yarn to finish a second cloth. So this time I did it really carefully. I made sure that I was just winding it around the needle itself. And of course, when you're using an interchangeable circular, the amount of actual wood, as it were, that you have for wrapping round isn't very much. So what I did an amount for 20 stitches, and I had 58 stitches I would need to do, so I did 20 and basically tripled that, and that was all fine. That all worked out in the end. Really sorely by now in need of something really idiot proof, I switched instead to making Mamaw's Choice by Sarah Stevens. That's M-A-M-A-W, Mamaw's Choice. It's a very simple pattern that really even I couldn't screw up. You make it solely with knit and slip stitches, and you're moving the yarn to back and front to come up with the pattern. The finished effect is really beautiful. I mean, I love it because I didn't go wrong with it and because it's simple, but the other reason I love it is because through its simplicity, it creates something just so pleasing to the eye. It's really lovely, and I've put a photo of that on Instagram, and I encourage you to go and have a look simply because it's just such a lovely thing. So I started that one evening and I finished it the next, and I used up a lot of corn flour. I have still got a bit left, not enough to make another face cloth really, but I'm sure at some point I will do a stash busting Aran knit. Probably I'll do something like some two at a time socks, just using both ends of the yarn, and that way I can use up the ends of several skeins of Aran yarn. I know my son wants some socks, sort of thickish, you know, boot socks, so that would be a good way of using up those. And being 8 years old, he likes socks with all sorts of weird and wonderful mismatched colours in them. So emboldened by my success with Honeycomb, I moved on to Feather and Fan. This is a face cloth pattern by Lily Sugar and Cream and Burnout Design Studio. I chose this one specifically because it's the type of pattern my mother was admiring. Somebody else was knitting face cloths at our knitting group a couple of weeks ago, and she was really taken by them. And this woman was knitting a kind of traditional type of pattern, and Mum was just really taken with it. So that's why I chose this. Probably not something I would have chosen otherwise. I'm not crazy about the pattern, but it all works out as it should. I haven't put a photo on Instagram yet. I will do that. I often finish knitting at night and I want to wait for natural light the next day before I take the picture. So I'm sometimes a bit behind myself. You might see what I mean about it being a traditional pattern if you see the picture, which doesn't exist yet. I have gone wrong in one place. At one stage, I put it down unexpectedly without making a plan about where I was or making a note to myself. And when I came back to it, I thought I knew where I was. The pattern is more or less interchangeable front and back. So depending on which side you look, I've either got half a row in knit when it should be purl or vice versa. But I've decided to leave it in. It's the hand-knitted signature, if you like. Every single thing I've ever knitted has at least one stitch that's not where it should be, you know, a purl stitch in a knit row or something like that. And so I'd like to say it's my hand-knitted signature. It's also because I'm just too lazy to go back. So I finished that last night. That was another two-evening wonder. I used up the very everything except about 6 inches of a skein of sage King Cole recycled cotton aran, so that's really satisfying. It's really good to be using things up. That leaves me with one face cloth left in it. I certainly want to give my mum 3. I might go mad and do a 4th. I'll probably end up making that decision on about the 22nd of December, to be honest. Although I've just heard this morning that we're likely to have quite a few guests over Christmas, so last minute Christmas knitting may just not happen at all this year. I'm sort of in two minds about that, mixed feelings. But before I start it and find that I can't manage it, the one I'm intending to knit, the last one, is Candle Flames by Renna Jones. It's written for an aran yarn, but in this particular instance with face cloths, I don't think size matters. Obviously, it has to be big enough to be useful, but beyond that, I really don't think it matters particularly, specifically what size it is. She's not going to be wearing it. And I deliberately want to give my mum a variety of cloths, sizes, types of pattern and texture, colour, that sort of thing. So I have bought a DK for this. I must admit, I was partly driven by the colour. I chose King Cole Bamboo Solids 100% Cotton DK in the most fantastic shade of red. I felt a cloth with the word flames in the title needed to be in red. And I just can't wait to knit with it, as it's absolutely gorgeous. It's sitting on my desk glowing at me and I'm expecting to dive into it this afternoon. The finished cloth made in aran is meant to be 12 inches by 12 inches, but personally I think that's huge for a flannel. The flannels I use aren't a foot square, so I'm expecting that scaled down with a DK yarn, I'm thinking it should come out at just a nice size. I mentioned when I was talking about honeycomb that I would have found sharps very useful before I abandoned it, but I hope that abandonment's just temporary. I don't want to be beaten by something as silly as a stitch count. I was prompted the other night to go looking online for sharps to add to my KnitPro interchangeable set. I wasn't going to buy any though, because this close to Christmas I would feel bad buying myself something that makes such an obvious and easy Christmas present for someone, i.e. my husband, to buy for me. 3.5mm short tips are already on my list for that tricky point at the top of a bauble. So I'm looking for needle recommendations for sharps. Ideally, I'd like something I can fit into my KnitPro interchangeable set, but it's not essential. The search results in Google were very higher heavy, and I have bought fixed circulars from higher before and I've liked them, so I'd certainly be open to higher, but I think if I was going to buy something from a different manufacturer, I would buy fixed. I don't really want to start working up 2 interchangeable sets. Certainly not at the moment. I'm not doing anything that requires sets with really different characteristics. I didn't think initially that KnitPro did interchangeable sharps, but I found something called KnitPro Basics Aluminium. Well, it doesn't do interchangeable sharps, but I think it does fixed sharps, the ones it calls basic aluminium, but I went round in circles trying to find the prices on this particular website. It was ProNeedlesCo.UK. So I went on to Amazon in the end, and they look like they're pretty cheap, but that's not necessarily a good thing. You know, rather than spending £3 on a needle, I'd rather spend £7 or £8 and it last and have nice fixings and so on. So I'd really love to hear people's recommendations for sharps, please. Interchangeable or not, knit pro or not. The only thing is that I'm looking for relatively small needle sizes. So I made reference to the baubles. After the first face cloth fail, and after my total failure, it's the only word, that's obviously today's word, sadly, of trying to do a worked in design and then a duplicate stitch design with the baubles, I remembered I'd been going to do a Halloween apple cosy to add to the collection. I will confess that ended up being a real last minute job, but my hand was really aching after three goes with these, trying to knit into these blooming yarn overs. So I decided it would be a good idea to switch to a spot of charting. It's always my left hand that hurts when I knit, and I'm right handed, so that gave my hand a real break, which is great. So got out the knitter's graph paper, and I wanted a design based on a pumpkin carving that I had seen. I wanted eyes that sloped in downwards towards the middle, but that had a kind of semicircular eye shape on the underside. So not just literally downward slits like dashes, things that had a little bit of shaping to them. So I did this on paper, and it looked quite good, but when I actually knitted it up, they looked more like triangles than slopes. So I might have another go next year at trying to work something in that's got more of a pronounced bulge to it. I'm not very good at getting good shapes with a small amount of stitches, and because these are designed to fit over an apple, you know, they're not very big. The end result was more of an angry gimp mask than a spooky Halloween face, but it did the job. My son was happy to see another one. We now have a grand total of 3 Halloween apple cosies, and one of them I made with bigger needles than usual. That was last year's, and my son managed to fit a pomegranate inside it. Ever the adventurous one. But when I took all the Halloween things down on November the 1st, they went away as well. I quite like Christmas, but I must admit I can be the bit grinchy about Halloween. Talking about sore hands, which I realise I've gone on about a bit, which wasn't my intention, I was very interested in an Instagram post by user A Yarn Lover that featured a book titled Knitting Comfortably, The Ergonomics of Hand Knitting. It sounds like a PhD title, but I think it would be fascinating. It's by Carson Demers, or Demers, who is on Instagram with the username ErgoIKnit. And I'll be hoping to get my hands on that over the festive season. I think it would be really interesting to learn, as I was saying when I did the episode on wrist pain or hand pain, really interesting to understand what all the forces are that are working down through the back, the shoulders, the arms, the hands, and what it's possible to do to improve your sort of knitting hygiene, the way you sit, your stance, want of a better phrase. I suppose some people probably do knit standing up. I did knit in the playground once, but that's when I was turning a sock heel and I just didn't want to stop for anybody. And I've seen another gorgeous book that I'm after. This is a Debbie Bliss book called The Knitter's Knowledge. That I saw that posted last night on Kelly McLeod's Instagram feed, and unlike the others, which are exactly as they sound, she is Kelly_McLeod, which is MacLeod. People were commenting that they'd seen it, they had it, the pictures were beautiful and so on. So I don't know if anyone's likely to buy those for me this year, but at this rate I'm likely to end up with more knitting books than knitting needles at Christmas for the first time in several years. So talking of Christmas and festive season, as the autumn really gets into its stride, the hand knits have been appearing. Down here in the West Midlands on the Herefordshire Wales border, we don't tend to get really, really cold weather. We're a little bit protected, but we had quite a frost the other morning, which was really lovely. It always makes it very beautiful getting up reasonably early to go out and let the hens out. It always feels very timeless. And it's that time of year, everyone's getting a bit more chilly, the extremities are starting to feel things a bit. So I've noticed more and more that hand knitted items are coming out for the umpth year in a row, which is lovely. I mentioned that my daughter wore the tailor top on her D of E training weekend. She's got the real thing this weekend, and I think she's planning to take it with her. I saw it out for washing. I wore March Basic earlier in the week and it kept me very cosy. I'm happier with it now than when I first wore it, which is honestly a recurring theme with me, and I would now be pretty relaxed about wearing it with people around me. At first, I thought it was so awful that I'd only ever wear it tucked away in the sitting room at night with only my husband to see me, but I've got over that now. And talking of that, I'm actually, as we speak, I'm wearing Pasadena. It is still a bit of a horse blanket, and I would think twice about being seen in polite company with it, but it's a pretty dreek November day here today. I'm just in the house, and we don't have the heating on during the day, and it is keeping me warm. So the things I didn't like about it are still the things I don't like about it, but I'm optimistic that at the very least I'll wear it in the house, so that's fine. When I go out, I tend to wear, you know, body warmer and a coat and things like that, so I'm not so much in need of chunky knits when I'm actually out and about, sort of being seen, as it were. I noticed this morning that my husband was wearing the slouchy grey Gotland hat, that is its actual name, that I knitted him in February 2015. His is green rather than grey. That's a King Cole Big Value Aran in Sea Spray, which I think was left over from when I made my son a jumper, a V-neck cable jumper, which he loves. My husband shaves his head and he's spending a lot of time outside just at the moment, so that hat is coming in very useful, and I know he wants a black beanie. I'm in two minds at the moment whether to do that in time for Christmas or whether just to make one for him now. So there I was, feeling really good about using up all these odds and ends of stash, these bits of cotton aran that I've been using for face cloth, and obviously I've used up a lot of the purple aran for making Pasadena, but then I realised I've bought 4 skeins of yarn in the last couple of weeks. I put on Instagram last night, you have to be quick to catch it, because I did it on Wednesday night and it's now Thursday lunchtime. I did a quick story about yarn in and yarn out for Stash Wednesday, and I realised I have bought recently in DK, I've bought white, brown, yellow and this fabulous bamboo red. So that's 4 skeins in. I've used up completely the King Cole Cotton Aran Sage, but I've still got some of the cornflower left. So that is a serious net gain, which wasn't the idea. Oops. There we go. Thank you very much for listening. Happy knitting, and I look forward to catching up with you next week. Bye.